Good evening and welcome to our evening service. It's good to have your fellowship here in the church. And on behalf of the congregation, we're delighted to see visitors with us tonight and coming from other places. Our call to worship tonight comes from Psalm 42. Psalm 42 at verse 1. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? Our first item of praise tonight is going to be from Psalm 18. From Psalm 18, the first two verses, and we're going to sing this in Gaelic. Psalm 18 in English reads, Thee will I love, O Lord, my strength, my fortress in the Lord, my rock, and he that doth to me deliverance afford. My God, my strength, whom I will trust, a buckler unto me, the horn of my salvation, and my high tower is he. Let's stand, and if we can, sing in Gaelic.
Janame Joni. Then a talk is another Shinichian at the Unish. As in Mohol is our new Adi. A good Mohol er Hof Hatte. A good Shinivi first here. A good Marahol Shin as a matin. Get a hook cook leak is more get the hair of a show. Go yak, can yak, go fatty car. I guess I should thank you to Crew here, son. A scale of war I know a head issue, my him a hill to wax. I guess Maraha is grabbed at Hennick Ishigan, Gunavaris, is more round Jeva than a dear dog. Gaishi hicked ye on senor. I guess in na iantus ravor as in hill on the shore. Jean Covey, a crinohook, a senior girl, egon, a highland of Ruyahain, a chien, a covey, a gahuchahook, a guskanashtahook, Nikan, nach Kulrinkinivik, Viktachina Tuxin, Gayok of a laugh here, my himmigil, Gramoshova, Cafe Magashinivir and Ashtahook, a sent Leo. In Liegen as er was ki, gejuk has in dat tanker te groeier, nach was ki gan in Liege. Ach, gedan ik jou zie, ik rioge wehe, kumurin gavik dat ik kanting, maar ik wolle zin, nu kut ook er lasho, er lavert, dus in jaren van Magadish, er grand kesi, en jo, bitte Magadomse, anem haras. Als je de tijd kunt groeien, de kavaluchien, als de kaval, pechig naar de janus, als je kan hoort aan de loge komen rotteen. Als je naar de nacht rot hoe lakken je, kun je kan gaven, leg je aardje naar pech, als je naamen van de schen. Als je naar de heenle kudde me van eeuwig koog, kun je gaar. Ik heb mijn macht als lief hekje. Ik heb ze gehaald het heen en al goed ze. Ik heb ze dat tanken te groeien is aan gaan je waan. Ik heb daarna toe lezen gedaan. Ach, ik heb daarna toe leuk om is. Ik weet dat ik mijn macht. Ik heb die niet heen, ik heb het jou zien. Ik heb kunnen groeien een ark die wat materiaal is. Ik heb ieder een oor die bavische werken. Vader was niet aan een kallien goed. Er zijn een nichtje zijn was in het algeen goed. Ik heb hem aanraai. Ach, een nusje. Ik kun je roept ook eens een keer. Ach, het heeft boer goed. Zeg je aan een rasanje. Ark er was in pechkoch. Ik is er was in aardlaaien als een vechke. Ik is er was in je eekomen zoog. Niet ze mij gaan uit de huizen. Ach, malle wil de groeier is aan. Corona hulle niet in. Er oorlog, corona hulle niet in. Het is al. Ik is maar waar. De heren was al hen kanten. Get naar hem huis te maar zo uit die. Kijk, kunnen je kan hier als jaren ruimse. Aardetje als nu hulle niet in. Ik is geen joch. Ik is malle wil de san. Gereden en aan je hakken jost, tronnen plio nog een. Gewillen gaan hier aan de show, gyfel a cendioch, gyfel a tiarantio, agos gymiar o chalanach, an y mehe, y gachin, agos yfyr hain gyddoch ag eich chan ymaen, gynny gros nyr ar gyddym, gyfe tiyan agos dod cem na dianys, ach y gro cwntoch, yr ulwch o'ch lats y gachin, farro trwsgan, ffyr an toch ddiast, gyfe yr ych o chwrs dis gachin, a tiyan, y gyfe y gafal yng nghwne gyng hwydig han y sio yng nghoel yr ych cholan y gaif agos yn trws gan ffyr yn toc a han y sio nes y ganghod os gadach yr adeg gaf hen hen mae'r fwydwyr a ha na ffyr yn gyiog a na dionys had yn nes y mae'r fwydwyr sy'n nach dy ffegig agos nach pegig a'n mhech i yn y gwrdd a'n yng Nghoan dy gioch aina. Ygys gwyw sy'n a ieg at y hasyn bochol, edd y cogwch nef na'r behe. Gymwyw sy'n a tot taincw dyrson gyda leid sioa gyfal aadio. Gyfal yng cogwch na'r nanym. Gyfal y nysyn a ha giori gyfi nag ar dŵr o chwsg ar nef o'ch. Nef hen na'r nanym yn nysyn a ha giori gyfi ar y fwch ach mal efo gwyhtar san na gos yn y fi diant gyda'r dysbryd bwy gyfer yn afyd yn ysio ygys bwy yr hodydd yn y ddefas mynioch gyrwa y tot bwy yr arslaniwr ygys yn ysio gyfi gachwr gwbaz gyiach granon y sian y fa colanig dyr o'n sy i gahu agus y colan ag y ialog y hwgw ga, na nigi ga agus gyngafa ga, y nopedd efan y sio, neu gymig slwag ar hot gasyn. Agus maddi fi wyth o'r son gynnwyr yn gafi cantyn, hann ys y cryoch nid. Agus gwych sy'n a ien ad asyn i gynnain a danam, gymig sy'n eff hen anio yn eich an an y sian. Agus gymig sy'n tig sy'n gyfel has cym y rhi gafal. Agus gymig cryst hast y ddianw gynnyn na hwrsio. Gyfer y lai dol y hyn, nad y fi sy'n ei dol y mach a tîm y iawn sy'n siorioch. Agus hann y sy'n y tachod y ddysg yn y, agus ga eichgen, mae'r unach sy'n nhw ga hyn yr asan. Ach fos cywn sy'n gymig sy'n eichgen, mae'r ha, agus sy'n y coloch ddysg. Agus hannam sgrifdi yr clor all newiddi. O chrwyr, han yn eich yn sy'n cwant chof hat o ffwni, gyiog hat ffyr y mae'r tymwyl, agos asyn ni cantyn, yn niach sy'n o hos i, le sy'n ei obydd, ffyr ar oed i, golai ys y cryos. Bian eich sy'n eich rwyr, le sy'n eich clyn at yna, bian eich sy'n eich sio, bian eich ylwch geis diolch, gach hyn ac, fwyntir sy'n, yn ach da'n eich has gofi, ef hengig yn y gdynios hann y gdynost, agos y sŵrs a awns. Gymryd y gadau tîn, gofi ef hen, becan gan y hwyd sy'n, sy'n i ordys gach hen hannig gofi gdyd sy'n hann y gdynost, gynnig y gwynt hylio. Agos a dy gwyr wrth gach la, gynnig y gach hen y fwyni gaif sa graag eich ac, gynnig y gwyd gofi ef hengig gyfer gdynost, y nysyn ys môr ys ysmasio a hannig y ddiaf y iawn sy'n teir. Bian eich sy'n asyn i gwyio as y chanios noch. Agus nad asyn y cyi fos cywn na nich yn hag afael atio a gynnau ma'n y sio. Gymys yn y cain o'ch yr dyfriar yn hen as yn irin. Rhaif sy'n o eryf ham i gef o'ch. Agus ham y gw di clawn yn ewn. Agus gwy ceintioch sesion ar cyddysgu gyda'n halad, gyfer sio gafael ati. Bian eich di hirafa sio chwch o ddwyhaddi sio, gymig ati yn y ddys yr ŵr o chwch na anna, yr leid o gwaith agos gymig ati yn le cwmach dy spirit, ac agos gymig sy'n ei fengen, dy lafs y ti yn y tresyn, agos gymig ŵr o chwch i'r ddianw, na'r beth hyn, agus ar bech anisnoch. Agus asinne a dien gofi y gafal sierf asinne hainche se. Asinne gwyach rhyw hwyr gymiad y tig sin agus y gdyd sin. Gyfer dy lwag hen y gwy yr ahon. Agus gymig am moch olga yr gyfer dy spirit hen y gair horoch o yna dîrin. Agus anasyn yr gymal ar o chwgar. At yr talaf agus ni, fyr y leidio gwaith. Agus gylaf hen bryrn yn nechal a hen y tig sin. Gyiag a ar y chwr na eintion agus na chdiw. Gyfer yr y lawr dynion. Bian eisyn cawb sŵr sy'n gleis yn y lach yn yr hosio, agos nhw hwyl as ni gyori, san na'n am agos ysgach di yst. Amen.
We're going to sing again, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. It's in 327 in Mission Praise. Immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes, most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, Almighty Victorious, thy great name we praise. Let's stand, if we can, to sing. We're reading tonight from Psalm 63. Psalm 63. Psalm 63 from verse 1. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you, in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. I will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips my mouth will praise you. On my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your right hand upholds me. Those who want to kill me will be destroyed. They will go down to the depths of the earth. They will be given over to the sword and become food for jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. All who swear by God will glory in him, while the mouths of liars will be silenced. Amen. We're singing again from Psalm 34. Psalm 34. God will I bless all times. His praise my mouth shall still express. My soul shall boast in God. The meek shall hear with joyfulness. Let's stand and sing to God's glory.
My soul shall boast in God.
Psalm 63. And I'm looking at this from the point of view of first, satisfaction, secondly, security, and thirdly, single-mindedness. As soon as I think about satisfaction, I think of 1965, and apologies for those who were not born in 1965, but many of us were, when the Rolling Stones released their song, Satisfaction, better known as I Can't Get No Satisfaction. It was their first number one hit in the US and their fourth in the UK. The first verse goes like this, I can't get no satisfaction. I can't get no satisfaction. 'Cause I try and I try and I try. I can't get no. What gives people satisfaction? Aren't there all sorts of things that give us satisfaction in life? Family, job, money, holidays, food, alcohol, drugs. The list is endless. The things that give people satisfaction. And to some extent, they do give limited satisfaction, all of these things. But when we look at our psalm tonight and how the psalmist is placed, the psalmist is in the desert of Judah. He's being pursued by his own son Absalom, and he has none of these opportunities. He is bereft of all possible satisfaction. Not quite, because he is wholly dependent upon his God. Verse 1, you, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. He thirsts for God. Of course he's thirsty. Of course he's thirsty. He's in a dry land. He's in the desert. And you and I would be thirsty too. But he is more than just thirsting for water. He is thirsting for God. He is thirsting for God's presence, for God's provision, and for God's protection. No matter where we are or where we might be, and no matter what we're facing, let's turn to God, for only he can satisfy. Catch a fleeting moment in our busy lives to speak to God, to turn to him, even in a noisy cafe, even in a traffic jam. Nehemiah is the one who gives us the idea of the arrow prayer, when the king asks him why his countenance has fallen, and he has to think quickly on his feet. And he puts up an arrow prayer for God's help. Isn't it good that we have, as Christians, immediate access to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords wherever we are? In verse 3, the psalmist says this, because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. The psalmist realizes that even if this has to be the end of his life, he sticks by his God. Why? Because the psalmist, as we sang earlier on, the psalmist wrote these very words in Psalm 34 and at verse 8, where the psalmist says this, O taste and see that the Lord is good. And he has both tasted and seen that the Lord is good. He's tasted and seen in all kinds of situation, as a shepherd boy, when he was protected from the wild animals. And then he has seen himself rise from shepherd boy to king. And then he realized that he has been chosen by God, called a man after God's own heart. Umpteen times he's been protected from Saul. And also he's known forgiveness. Forgiveness when he committed adultery and where he more or less had a man murdered. And what about us tonight? Have we tasted and seen what God is like? And if we have, we will have satisfaction in all circumstances. And we will have satisfaction often in spite of our circumstances. And if you're not a Christian tonight, well, it's terrific that you're here. But you too can have the satisfaction that the psalmist speaks about. Every time we come to God's word, whether it's personally at home, whether it's collectively in a congregation or in small groups, three things to think about. What do we learn about God the Father? What do we learn about God the Son? What do we learn about God the Holy Spirit? And we're learning a lot because the psalmist so trusts his God. And secondly, what do we learn about the people that we're reading about? Well, we're only reading about one person, basically, in this psalm. We're reading about a man who, in spite of his situation, is trusting God. And then, what do we learn about ourselves? I think it's the book of James that tells us that looking at the Bible is like looking in a mirror. We are seeing ourselves. And sometimes we are seeing ourselves as the psalmist, where we're in all kinds of situations we had maybe never dreamt of, but we are also able to trust the Lord. Verse 5, I love. It says, the psalmist says, I will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. I will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. Isn't a meal one of the most satisfying things we can have? Sometimes it's due to extreme hunger. We are absolutely starving, and to see a meal ready on the table, or even to get the smell of it as we come in, is just so satisfying. For a while I lived with an old aunt, and I would come in and there would be beautiful smells, and I would say to her, oh, auntie, there's wonderful, wonderful smells. And she would say to me, hunger makes good kitchen. Or sometimes we're satisfied with food because it's our favorite dish that's been made specially for us. Or we're in a restaurant that we really love. Isn't it funny that our tastes change as the years pass? Friday night in our house, my mother had died by this time, but as a teenager, my father and I would go shopping on a Friday, and every Friday night we would get steak. I don't know where he got the money from, because he was in a very, very low salary, but we got steak every Friday night. But I was a hungry, hungry teenager, and I needed something more, so I got a tin of spaghetti hoops to keep me going until the steak was ready. And I loved my spaghetti hoops. But the funny thing is, now I can't stand spaghetti hoops. I think there seems to be a fan with us about spaghetti hoops. And isn't it funny, just the things that were so popular back in the day but seem to have been going out of fashion? I don't know if any of you have seen the film The Keeper. It's a fascinating film. If you haven't seen it, I would recommend it. It's basically set during the Second World War, where when a German is in England and he is in a camp there and they've got a relative freedom, and he is basically taken in by an English family and looked after there, and he's a fantastic footballer. And they sit down to what was a treat back in the days of the war: tripe and onions. An absolute treat at the time of the war. I love that the way it puts this verse in the Scottish Psalter. And we will sing this at the end of the service. This particular verse, verse 5, it says this: even as with marrow and with fat, my soul shall filled be. Even as with marrow and with fat, my soul shall filled be. My father just loved these two, marrow and fat. He would dig out the marrow out of the bone, and any fat we left, I would sometimes leave the fat from the steak, he would gobble up. And this is how satisfied our psalmist is with God. When it comes to satisfaction, the world has a certain glamour, but there's nothing and no one can satisfy the soul like God. Soon we find that the wells of this world are empty. What our Saviour Jesus offers is satisfaction in the real world. Often satisfaction in the midst of disappointment, in the midst of frustration, and in the midst of danger, and even in the midst of death. In the 1970s, I was in a large church in Glasgow, and I was there by default. I was interested in a particular girl, and I was happy to go anywhere where she went. And this particular night, a Sunday night, she was going to church, so I would go to church with her. I was not interested in church at all. I was not in any way against church, but I was just not interested at all. The minister, the pulpit, as it was in many, many churches in days gone by, the pulpit was way up there. There was people on the ground floor, there was people in the balcony, and I would imagine there would have been about 600 people in the church of all ages. And I was stunned by this fact because I thought church was essentially for old people. So I was very surprised to see younger people there. And the minister that night spoke about satisfaction. And it was as if his finger was pointing at me. And he was saying, "You have been looking for satisfaction in the wrong places. You have been looking for satisfaction in alcohol. You have been looking for satisfaction in relationships. You have been looking for satisfaction in education." And that night, I had not gone there because of an interest in Christianity. And then he said these words: "The only place you will find satisfaction is in the Lord Jesus Christ." And that was the night I became a Christian, and the person I was with became a Christian at the same time. About satisfaction, I was the living example of the Rolling Stones, and it was as if someone had told him that I was there. And then that promise that you get, that the Lord's promise that when we come to him, we will know peace. We will know peace with God. We will know peace with one another. We will know peace with outsiders. And we will know what the Bible talks about as that peace that passes understanding. We will know forgiveness. Isn't it amazing that the Lord is willing to forgive us whatever we have thought, said, or done? He is willing to forgive us. And we will know love like we've never known before. That someone would go to the cross and take the punishment that should have been ours. And we will know family. We will know family. We can come to Harris and we can find our brothers and sisters. We could equally go to Timbuktu and find our brothers and sisters there. this incredible, large international family, and that we also are given a future. We know that whatever happens, if we're Christians tonight, whatever happens, that we will go to be with the Lord at the end of the day. And I can just imagine what that's like when we've come to know Jesus. We've come to know Jesus. We've come to love Jesus. We've come to serve Jesus. But then we will see him face to face. David, the psalmist, had to adjust the lens from the situation he was in. And it's exactly the same for us, whatever our situation is tonight. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10 sums it up. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The missionary Hudson Taylor had a plaque in his home. The plaque was Ebenezer and Jehovah Jireh. And he would say, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." Ebenezer, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." And Jehovah Jireh, "The Lord will see to it." And Hudson Taylor said this about this plaque that they had. "This takes care of the past and the future. So why worry about the present? God is in control." Satisfaction. Secondly, security. Where does David find security? There's none. He's in the desert of Judah. His life is under threat. But he has security in a God that he's come to know and learn to trust. Where do we find security in 2021? Perhaps we find there's a certain security in a political party that we're attached to. Perhaps it's the security is in our bank balance. Or the security is in our insurance policies. Or our stocks and shares. But if the pandemic has taught us anything, it's taught us that all of these things can be so easily taken away. Our security is the same as the psalmist. Our security is in God. Verse 2 of our psalm, "I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory." The psalmist has had past experience of God in the sanctuary, as a shepherd boy, as king, and knowing that God is sovereign. Because he knows three things about God. He knows God's presence, God's power, and at the end of the psalm, he knows about God's judgment. He has seen God in the past, he sees him in the present, and he can trust him for the future. How can we know that security, the same security that the psalmist have? It's to get to know our God. And perhaps for you tonight, it's to get to know God for the very first time. I had a former pupil, and she was telling me, I saw her in a church one night, and she was the kind of person I didn't expect to see in a church. And I didn't like to ask her, "Why are you here? I didn't expect to see you." I thought that was a bit rude. But at a later date, I said to her, "I saw you in church. Tell me more." And she said, "I woke up one day and I just wanted to know about God." Just out of the blue, she woke up and she wanted to know about God. She went to a local church and it didn't seem to suit her. And she thought, "Oh, I'll forget about that idea." But when she went into the office the following morning, she said to someone, I woke up with a strange thing. I wanted to find out about God, but I realized, no, the church is not for me. And the girl in the office was a Christian and said to her, "Why don't you come with me to my church?" She said as soon as she heard the minister start, she was hooked and she was fascinated, and she just knew when he talked about God from the Bible, she was finding out about God, and she later became a Christian. And perhaps for us, for Christians tonight, isn't it good for us to get to know our God better and better and better? And it's like a lifelong friendship. We know the person. We know how they think. We know so much about them. But yet, as the friendship or the relationship develops, we get to know them better and better. It always amazes me that the Bible, according to Google, is still a bestseller. Still a bestseller in 2021. And yet, it remains a book that's largely on people's bookshelves or beside their bed, but so seldom read. Verse 7 in our psalm says this: "Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings." Isn't it like a protection for fledglings? There's safety there. And in verse 4, we read these words: "I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. In your name I will lift up my hands." Now, that's still the case in some Christian traditions. They still lift up their hands when they praise God or when the word is read. They still lift up their hands. But in the Old Testament, it was very much a posture of prayer as they lifted up their hands. And the idea was, as they lifted their hands, the prayers went up and the blessings came down. How is such intimacy possible? Only through our Lord Jesus Christ. He, by his death and resurrection, he has made our way to God possible, so that we, by trusting in him, become children of the living God, sons and daughters. Isn't it amazing? I always find it amazing when someone adopts a child. My mother was an abandoned baby. We don't know a lot about her. She was an abandoned baby. And I thought she was adopted I learned just fairly recently, she was not adopted formally, but she was taken in by a family. Don't you admire someone who brings up a child that's not their own? And aren't we glad there are these people around that bring up their children? And as we see that person becoming more and more like their parents, who of course aren't their parents biologically, but they become more and more like their parents in their mannerisms and sometimes in their looks. When I've been at parents' nights over the years, some parents have said, "Did you know my son was adopted?" Well, it was none of my business to know whether they were adopted or not. But I would have looked at the child and looked at the parents and said, they look like you. And their mannerisms and the way they spoke, the way they turned around, so like it. And that's like us when we become Christians. Now, there are many, many people who will never, ever be in any church or at any church service, even on Zoom or anywhere else, but they will see you. They will see you in your workplace. They will see you in your community. They will see you in your social life. And they will see me too in all these places. And they will see when we are Christians that we're being changed from one degree of glory to another. None of our own doing, all of the Lord as we take time to be with him, to be in his word, to be in prayer, to be with him. And isn't it amazing that we can call the God of creation, we can call him Abba, Father. One of the books I read at university when I was studying German was a book called Tonio Kröger, who was the main character of the book. And Tonio Kröger was very much an outsider. He didn't fit in at all. But there's one particular scene in that book that stands out in my head. It was at Christmas. And you saw, well, you didn't see, I was reading the book, but there was a family gathering. The lights were on, they were having a party, all the joy of being together as a family. And Tonio Kröger, the outsider, he is at the window, his face pressed against the window, wishing he could belong. But he didn't. Wishing he could belong. I don't know about you if you're a Christian here tonight, but I've had friends saying to me, I wish I had your faith. To which I reply, no, no. You maybe wish you had the God that I have faith in. You maybe don't wish for my faith. And I want to invite them to have faith in the same God. A bit like that man pressed against the window, to know someone could have opened the door and said, come and join us in here. And a sovereign word, a sovereign God will have the last word. When he says, in judgment, the mouths of liars will be stopped. Vengeance is mine. So we've seen satisfaction. We've seen security. And in his security, again, he had to adjust the lens. And finally, single-mindedness. In spite of his awful circumstances, his focus is not on the desert or the danger, but on his God. And his God is not a theological idea, but a personal reality. What about us? What is God for us? Isn't it amazing that we can come to know God in that intimate way? And we can have Jesus Christ as our elder brother. His longing for God that we've got in verse 1 is like a longing for someone we're in love with. Do you remember the days when you were first in love? You remember these days. Now, for some of us, it was a long time ago. We're having to use our memories. And we couldn't wait to be with that person again. We couldn't wait for tomorrow to see that person. Now, it doesn't have to be love like that. It could equally be love that's come from a friendship, where we get on so well with that person. We love their company that we can't wait to be with them the next time. In verse 1 in the message, it says this about the psalmist's feeling about God. It says, I can't get enough of you. I can't get enough of you. Is that how we feel about our God? Human relationships, sadly, can go stale. We can take one another so much for granted. And isn't it the same with God? Yes, we're Christians. But do we spend that time with our Lord? So easy for us that we can worship the gifts that he gives us rather than the giver. And in Revelation 2, when the writer is writing to Ephesus, and the words are quite disturbing when the Lord is saying, you have abandoned the love you had at first. And sadly, in relationships, human relationships, sadly, when people divorce, It's often the end of that relationship. You do hear on occasion that people will get back together again. But so often, it's the end. That relationship, and because of that, many other relationships are severed. We've all known that. Some of us know that in our own families. But to know our relationship with God can be restored. If we have fallen away, if we have sinned against God, isn't it good to know He will have us back when we can come to Him and we confess? Isn't it good from time to time to read Psalm 51, where David had been challenged by Nathan about his adultery? And then he came to God, a wonderful psalm. David's single-mindedness is seen in verse 1, where he says, "Earnestly I seek you." Not someone groping in the dark for God, but a man confident in this God. Earnest, perhaps because he's in desperate straits. It's his top priority. In verse 1 in the Scottish Psalter that we'll see in a moment or two, it says this: "Lord, thee my God, I'll early seek." Lord, thee my God, I'll early seek. Early, in that it might be our first port of call in a crisis. Is that always our response in that kind of situation? Or it could be early in life. We can come to Jesus in repentance and faith when we're young, when we're children. We don't have to wait till we're grown up. We don't have to wait till later in life. Early in life. I know someone who came to Christ when he was 8 years of age. And I remember thinking about that and thinking, really? Is that true? Is that a real relationship with the living God? Well, that person's now nearly 40, and he's still a Christian. With his ups and downs, unlike the rest of us, unlike the rest of us. Now, the statistics say, I don't always believe statistics, but statistics say that 90% of people become Christians before the age of 24. Well, I knew a lady in her 70s who became a Christian from an atheistic background. Now, the early could mean early to be in the Word. Now, some of you are morning people, and some of you like early morning before there's any stir in the household to be up and just have some private time with the Lord in the Word and in prayer. Now, had you been alive in John Wesley, the hymn writer's day, you would have been in for a big surprise. He was very generous in having you to stay. But one of the conditions was you joined him for worship at 4 a.m. Yes, I'm glad, but it's not quite like that in the manse. Well, David's not there. What time's best for you? We want to seek the time where we are at our absolute freshest to spend with the Lord. David in this desert is physically so far away from God. You see, he associates God with the sanctuary, as Old Testament believers did. And then in the New Testament, they came to realize that we can worship God anywhere. And Jesus met the woman at the well and made this clear. That gives us inspiration, much as we love our church, that we can worship God anywhere. And even when we had to stay away from church during the pandemic, and we had the live streaming, and we could worship God together. We weren't physically together, but we were together. Verse 8 says, "I cling to you." I cling to you, the psalmist says, speaking about God. It's the cling is the same Hebrew word as is used in Genesis 2:24, when it says, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. It's the same word. And doesn't it give us that oneness that we can have with God? When we become Christians, as soon as we become Christians, we are united to Christ. And when Jesus died, he paid the ransom to set us free. If we're Christians tonight, we belong to him and he belongs to us. We are living in an age where people don't have that feeling of belonging. You are particularly fortunate here in the island is that there is still a sense on the island of belonging to one another and looking out for one another. But so many people live very isolated lives these days. Song of Songs, chapter 6 and at verse 3, says this about our relationship with our Lord. I am my beloved's and he is mine. It's as if we were engaged, and one day, if we're Christians, we will be sitting at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Revelation 19 and 9 says this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're all invited. Everyone is invited. Isn't it amazing? I don't know about a Harris wedding, but most of us who are organizing weddings, we have to restrict the numbers just because of the cost or because of the venue. But there's no restrictions. There's no restrictions in this marriage supper of the Lamb. We're all invited, and there'll be three responses. There'll be yes, please. There'll be no thanks. And there'll be, I'll see. But that last response, I'll see, is almost as good as a rejection. Because we may never get another chance to come to Christ. David is single-minded in his relationship, and it encourages us to be single-minded too. Jesus just reminds us of what we know from the Old Testament, where in Matthew 22, and verse 37, he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, and with all your mind. Who else would we want as our God? Who else would we want who is loving, caring, forgiving, powerful, majestic? So let us be like the psalmist. And let us refocus the lens. Let's pray together. Our Father, we do just thank you for your word. And we thank you for what we learn about you and just how great a God you are. Lord, and we just thank you for the inspiration from the psalmist who trusted you, learned to trust you in all circumstances. And Lord, we pray for each one of us. Thank you for each one and each family represented here tonight. And pray that you would draw us either to yourself if we've never come, or closer and closer to yourself. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We are going to finish our service by singing from Psalm 63. I thought, where better can we sing from than from the Psalter? Psalm 63. Lord, thee my God I'll early seek. My soul doth thirst for thee. My flesh longs in a dry parched land wherein no waters be. Let's stand if we can to sing to God's glory.
Lord, my flesh.
And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen.